Title of the message is Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven. And I want to once again challenge you as we read this book of 1 Corinthians. Don't look at it as just a book of the Bible or a book of rules. This is real people with real problems. Paul is writing to these folks and he's addressing issues that are within the church. These, even though it was some 2,000 years ago roughly, a little less, but even though it was long ago, the issues were just as relevant then as they are today. Okay? So it still applies to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 begins with, However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we approach you today with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray that you would now impress upon our hearts, Lord, that this be more than just a message presented by a preacher. But Lord, we desire to hear from you. Help us to not settle for anything less than hearing from you. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. I pray for those in this service, Lord, right now, who are lost. You know who they are and they know who they are. For you see the heart of man. Lord, I pray that you draw them to you today, and I pray that they'll be saved. I pray for those who are in this service, Lord, who are saved, but, Lord, have just neglected the cross and taken for granted the sacrifice that was made for our sins. Lord, forgive us. Draw us near to you. Glorify your name in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let me just start with the question, who wants to go to heaven? People are going, this is a trick question, right? It's not. Who wants to go to heaven? I raise both hands. When I die, I want to go to heaven, right? Everybody wants to go to heaven when they die. I mean, otherwise, you're just dumb. I'm sorry, but, you know, I can't imagine not wanting to go to heaven. And if you want to go to heaven, I don't raise your hands on this one, but I asked you another question. Are you going to heaven? I ask you another question. Are you sure you're going to heaven. How do you know? How do you know? Think on that for a minute. You see, if we want to go to heaven, there has to be a way to get there. And if there's a way to get there, we better go to the one who's created it all. God Himself. That's what Paul is doing here. And I want you to understand, this subject matter is still the cross of Christ. That Paul mentioned in the first part of this chapter, that he determined not to know anything but Christ and Him crucified. And so that's still the subject matter here, is the cross of Christ. And so if we're going to go to heaven, we're going to have to look for the route, the map, in the wisdom of God. And we're going to have to discover the undiscovered mystery of the cross. Paul said, we speak wisdom of God in a mystery. That word mystery was a religious term, and it was reserved for, it was actually a Roman word, or used in the Roman world, a word that was a secret, or it meant a secret that was confided only to the initiated. Have you ever been a member of the club of a club that had secrets? When I was growing up, I was a member of the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Then I became a teenager and got over that really quick. You know, there are some institutions that have secrets they only share with those who are part of that club. That's the idea here, okay? That there are things that are hidden or concealed in the cross of Jesus Christ that most people do not get. Most people do not understand. To them, it seems like just another religious mumbo-jumbo story. To some, it even seems crazy. I mean, let's face it. Let's think about it. Who would have ever thought about coming up with such a plan of salvation that we say we believe? It's unimaginable. You could not have made this stuff up. As a matter of fact, when Paul says in verse 9, he said, But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. We often look at that and we say, that's talking about heaven. We can't imagine what's going to be in store for us in heaven. And we can't. But that's not what this is talking about. That's not the subject. The subject is the cross of Christ. And the subject here, when he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, what's really cool is verse 10, where he said, but God has revealed it to who? Oh, come on. To us. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. So obviously the things that Paul's talking about in verse 9, he says, we know. What do we know about? We don't know about that much, you know. We don't know everything about heaven, but I'll tell you what. We better understand the cross of Jesus Christ. It better be more than just a story. See, what Paul is saying when he says this, is he's saying no one has ever seen anything like this. No one has ever imagined or heard of anything like God in the flesh going to a cross to die for the sins of mankind. See, have you ever thought about how wild this method of salvation is? I want to share it with you. God, before the world was created, before mankind was ever created, God knew the sin of mankind. He knew that man would get on the earth. He knew He'd create man, that man would sin and reject God. So He knew before He ever breathed the breath of life into Adam, He said, I've got to provide a way for their salvation, or they'll be separated from Me forever. And so, before God even created the world, He said, I will send my son. God in the flesh. Now, let's stop right there. We say God in the flesh quite a bit. But I want you to think about how wild that is. This is God. Jesus Christ was not born, was not created when He was born to Mary. Before that, He was God. He was in heaven with God the Father. He's always been. So Jesus, the plan was that Jesus would come to this earth as a mere man. Now, I want to tell you, some of us think a whole lot of ourselves, but we're not much. And when you consider the God, the creator of this universe, laying all His heavenly glory aside and coming to this earth to live as a man, doesn't that seem kind of wild? Doesn't it seem kind of out there? But not only would God come in the flesh as a man, but God, knowing that He would be absolutely rejected by the very people He came to save, and that rejection would take Him to a place called Calvary. And at Calvary, God in the flesh would wear a crown of thorns, would be mocked and treated shamefully. He would be nailed to a cross. This is God in the flesh. He would be nailed to a cross while everybody walks around the foot of that cross and says, save yourself. And that same God in the flesh we know as Jesus died there on that cross. Was taken down from the cross, placed in a tomb where He laid for 3 days. And the good news is, after 3 days, He rose from the grave alive. He was on this, walked upon this earth 40 days afterwards, and then He ascended up to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, waiting to make intercession for His children. Now I want you to back up and just think about it. Is that not a wild story? Is that not something that's just honestly, it's kind of far-fetched. Let's be reasonable. That's what this whole chapter 2 is about. Paul's saying the world looks at it and they say, huh? There's no way. That's just too far out there. But Paul says there is a people. A people who get it. You see, you look at people, for example, like the Hindus, and I'm not running other people down, but I want you to present. See, the Hindus, they believe in reincarnation. If you don't get it right the first time, you come back as something else. And you keep coming back until you get it right, basically. Okay? But it's based on works. And while you're here living, if you do enough good works, then you'll advance. You'll come back as a higher life form. If you get it wrong, you'll come back as a lower life form. And you'll have to work your way back up. Now, the believable part of that is, I realize you're saying, who could believe that? But the believable part of that is it's all based on works. If you do good, one day you'll get there. The Muslims. I mean, they believe that if you kill the infidels, then you go to heaven where 72 virgins are waiting for you. And you spend eternity in bliss. But it's all based on works. If I do, that's why today's 9/11. 15 years ago today, that's why they were flying airplanes into buildings. So they could go to heaven, all based on works. The atheist who says, I don't believe it if I can't see it. I can even understand that. Well, it's hard to believe something you don't see. I get it. But I want to tell you something. The story about the cross of Jesus changing a life, boy, that's out there. according to the world. According to what the world sees. I mean, you know, I understand. The only way that you'll ever get it is if it has been revealed by God Himself to you. You see, that's what Paul is saying when he says it can't enter into the human mind just can't fathom, but God has revealed it to us through His Spirit. What has He revealed? He's revealed to us what the cross represents. Do you understand what the cross represents? Is what you have, is it real? You've got to understand, you know, you need to understand the idea. First of all, the cross of Jesus Christ represents God's past substitution for sinners. You see, God is a just God. And if He's a just God, He has to judge sin for justice to be administered. When you go to a court, you expect that judge to pass judgment upon that criminal who has violated the law. The law of God's law, the law of the universe is the same thing. God has established His standard. He's established His law. And for God to not pass judgment on sin would be a travesty of justice. So you want to know why Jesus went to the cross? He went to the cross to endure the judgment for your sin. That's what it was about. You see, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." The cross of Jesus Christ was God's judgment upon sinful men. And the first thing I want you to grasp today is, yes, Jesus went to the cross. Yes, He died. But it was you that should have been there. And Brother Doug, I'm not that bad. Oh, yes, you are. Look in your heart. Well, Brother Doug, I've never killed anyone. Brother Doug, I'm not like those people out there who are stealing every day and drunkards. But listen, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That does not leave you out. Therefore, God has to judge your sin. That's what the cross was about. And what I want you to see first of all today is it should have been you. I shouldn't have to convince you that you're a sinner. I shouldn't have to convince you that it should have been you instead of Jesus on that cross. You see, that cross represents God's past judgment upon your sin. That cross represents the present execution of sinners. Now, here's the part that the world doesn't usually get. Okay? It's the place where we die to self. See, this is the part where we call repentance that is really unpopular to preach today. We're in that age that, oh yes, I believe in Jesus, so I'm going to heaven. Are you sure? Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The cross is the place where you die to sin. Paul put it like this, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, with Jesus, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. What happens? I get on my knees at Calvary. I pour out my life to Calvary or to Jesus Christ. I get off my knees, a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's why Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you realize part of salvation, part of Calvary, is we died too? These who think you just be saved and live any old way you want to live, I'm going to be honest with you, and I can't judge your heart, but I do know this. If you can claim Jesus as your Savior and live any old way you want to, you're missing something. You're missing something. Now, I'm not saying that, we still live in the flesh. We all still battle the temptations of this life. But I don't want to live a life that's directly in opposition to the Jesus Christ who saved me. Yeah? The cross represents our execution, where we repent and turn and go the other direction. Listen, if you got off your knees the same way you got on them, you need to get back on them. The cross changes us. And the cross represents our future glorification. I love this verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And here's the good part. That in the ages to come, let's read this together because this is good stuff. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that when you went to Calvary, you laid down that life at Calvary, you got off your knees, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This life is not all we have. It's going to get better. Glory to God. I know where I'm going. The reason I know where I'm going is because I placed my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. Yes, it was all about what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. All I did was faith. For by grace, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. When it says by grace, it means God did it all. Do you get it? Do you get it that God did it all? In the balcony, do y'all understand? God did it all, and He did it all for you. On the floor, do you understand that God did it all, and He did it all for you? And you know, the world looks at this story of God in the flesh who hung on the cross and died and rose from the grave, and they say, yeah, right. Sure, yeah. But when you know, see, what happens is you've just heard the story of the cross of Christ. And you've got to do something with that. And what some people do is they say, no, I'm not. No, uh-uh. No, not today. Someday after I get all my wild oats sowed, or one of these days I will, and I'll make, you know. And what you're doing is you're closing your heart. But I'm going to tell you something that happens that's so wonderful. You know? You open your heart to Jesus. You quit backing up and you quit saying, no, I'm not going to, no, not right now. You quit making excuses. You quit listening to Satan. And you say, Lord, show me. Lord, I want to know You for real. Lord, I want to be saved. What's going to happen is you open that heart and God floods your life with light. And it's like, wow, how could I have missed it? How could I have missed it? But you see, it can only be received by the spiritual man. The spiritual, that's what Paul's talking about. The world hears it, the natural man thinks it's foolishness, but the spiritual man, the spiritual man, when he opens his heart to the truth of Calvary, and that light comes on. Have you ever seen the light come on? And somebody's, somebody you prayed for over and over, and you look at them and you think, how could you miss it? And all of a sudden, they open that heart enough that God floods them with light, and it's like, I get it. I get it. I love those instances. That's why with children, you know, children talk about it, and we're very cautious in dealing with them. Children talk about it all the time. I know that Jesus died for my sin, but when the light comes on, it's different. You know, you can't talk them out of it when the light comes on. You see, you've got to make a decision about Calvary. What are you going to do with Jesus? Everybody wants to go to heaven. But unfortunately, not everybody's going. Because there's that natural man. That natural man that rejects. In verse 14, it says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Deep down, I believe people know. I really do. Deep down, God convicts, and you fight, but you know that you're not going to heaven because you've rejected the Son of God. Deep down, you know that you're going through motions. Deep down, you know it's not right. I want to tell you something. What's going to happen to you? You're going to lose. See, James chapter 4, verse 14 says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I want you to understand, it's not going to last long. 2 weeks ago, I was where these college students are.
Brother Doug,
what? Oh, it seemed like 2 weeks ago. All right? And 2 weeks before that, I was over here with our teens. I mean, you know, it has all gone by so fast. The older I become, the more I realize James knew what he was talking about. I look back and poof, my life is quickly fading. But the good news about it is I know where I'm going. You see, you're going to die. Y'all back there, you know you're going to die, right? You know you're going to die. And what's going to happen is you're going to lose. All those things that you think are so important in this life. You know that house payment that many of us make every month? Do you make a house payment every month? Okay. Everybody else must be doing better. I'm still paying on mine, you know. I want to tell you something, surprise you. You're going to lose that house. You know that job that you go to every day and work so hard at to advance? You're going to lose that job. You know, the retirement that you're working so hard to save up for, you're going to lose that retirement. Because one of these days, you're going to close your eyes on this earth for the last time. And you'll open them in eternity. And all that will be in eternity for you is what you send ahead right now. That's why the Bible says, lay not up treasures on this earth where moths corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven, because that's the stuff that lasts forever. You see, we think this life is so important, and it's not. You know, I mean, the things that they're not. We compromise. and we excuse and we say, oh, God understands. No, He don't. No, He don't. Let me tell you something. You can sit there today and you can just reject the preaching of Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ. And you can say, well, maybe, one of these days, or maybe God will understand it. No, He won't. He won't. Here's the choice that you've got to make. Okay? Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for a soul? You've got to decide right here and right now what your eternity is worth. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but not everybody's going. I know the world tells you, well, you just do the best you can and maybe you'll get there. That won't get it. It's only through Jesus Christ. What have you done with Jesus? What's it worth? We're going to have a verse of invitation in just a minute, and you're going to have to decide this. You're going to have to decide, what's it worth to keep me from walking down this aisle and receiving Jesus? Brother Doug, I don't want to be embarrassed. People will see me. Is that what you're going to throw eternity away for? Well, Brother Doug, right now is just not a convenient time in my life. Is that what you're going to, convenience, you're going to throw Jesus away and eternity away? See, here's the question, and I want you to read this like you've never read it before. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? If you had it all, every bit of the money you wanted, every bit of the luxury you wanted, everything in life that you want, if you had it all, but you lost your own soul, what good would it do you? Because I want to tell you something, and I'm going to close with this. Everybody's attention. You are going to die. And after that, it's heaven or it's hell. There's no in between. And it all depends upon what you do with Jesus. Our Father in heaven. Lord, we come to the invitation now, realizing there is no hope apart from You. We realize, Lord, had it not been for You, we'd be condemned. But we rejoice in knowing that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, I want everybody here today to know You as their personal Savior. I pray that no one exchanges their soul for excuses. I pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.